both say good morning. Yeah.
It's good for
you. Oh, okay. All right, so I'll say good morning. So today's daf is Samech Hey. We are picking up Emir Hashem on the last 65. We're picking up on the last line of Samech Dalad Amud Bez. We're getting ready to everyone. So Vinosin Lo Chatzi Kav Kitnis. So remember again, the Mishnah said that he gives her a half of Kav of Kitnis. What the Mishnah picks up on, Gemara picks up on, is Ve'ilu Yayin Lo Katonio. But interestingly enough, the Mishnah makes no mention of the fact that he has to give her a wine allotment. Doesn't make any mention about how much wine he's obligated to give her. To which the Gemara says, "Maseila the Rabbi Elazar." This supports the position of Rabbi Elazar. The Am Rabbi Elazar, top of Samechay, in poskin yenos liisha. Rabbi Elazar says that we do not go ahead and give a wife wine from her husband's estate. Rashi says, "In poskin yain liisha, shayayin margila letaavas tashmish," because ultimately, Rabbi Elazar says that wine awakens within her a desire for intimacy. And remember, again, we'll both say the context over here is these are situations in which, again, a wife is not living with her husband. Remember, again, she's being supported. She is being supported at a different location. Therefore, Elazar says the notion of giving her something that's going to awaken her desire for intimacy is not a good idea. Ve'im tomar, elcha acharei me'avai, nos nilachmi u'memi tzimri u'pishti, shmani. But he quotes the pasuk in Hosea, which indicates that literally, I will go after the one who loves me. And how does one show that he loves me? Gives me this talking about, of course, this is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's describing ultimately the relationship between husband and wife, and it discusses shikuyai. Now, the assumption is that this is mashke, indicating that a husband does in fact give his wife wine. To which the Gemara says, no, shikuyai doesn't mean drink. Rather, dvarim sha'isha mishtokekes lehem. Rather, it refers to items that a woman desires, which is what? Umayninhu tachshitin, jewelry. So darash Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar neviri va'amile ish kfar nafor chayo. So Rabbi Yehuda darshant minayin shin poskin liyinos liisha. How do we know that we do not provide a woman with a wine allotment? Shene emar, because the pasuk says, v'atakam chana achari achlo b'shilo v'achari shiso. So listen to this. So the Gemara says that it says in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. Remember again, this is before Chana has a child. So the Navi talks out the idea that Chana got up after they ate in Shiloh and after in Shaso. Now both say Shaso means after he drank, which indicates to us Shaso below Shasas. It indicates that Elkanah drank, but Chana did not drink, which Rabbi said the Gemara is learning about why didn't Chana drink. It must be that Lemaisa, that a woman doesn't get wine from her husband's estate. Ela me'ato achlo v'lo achal, to which the Yuhachanam is, maybe the Gemara says, but one second, if you're going to go that route, it says achlo, it says he, right, she ate and not him. Are you telling me that again, that only means that only Chana ate and Elkanah didn't eat? To which the Gemara Salchinami Anan mean the Shani Krabidi Bure Kamrinon. The Gemara says, no. Our drasha is not simply in the masculine feminine phraseology of the words. Rather, our issue over here is with the shifting of the subject of the pasuk. What does that mean? Michti Bigav, let's see this. Bigavo Kaasik. At first the Gemara is talking about him. Excuse me, about her. Vaasi. My time shani. So we'll say, remember, the pasuk begins talking about Chana. Vatakam Chana achari achlo b'shilo. Vaachari shaso. So it says Chana got up after they ate, and then it says after he drank. So if the pasuk is talking about Chana, then why switch to the fact that Elkanah is drinking? Rather, the Gemara says, "My time is shani, shmamina shasav v'lo shasas," because the pasuk is coming to teach us again a lesson that it's the husband who drinks, but not the wife. And therefore, again, I both say in these circumstances, obviously, let's be clear on one thing: when the wife is living with the husband, so whatever he gets, she gets. So if he's drinking, she's entitled to drink as well. What the Gemara is extrapolating from here is to go ahead and discuss if, let's say, she is being supported separate and distinctly from her husband, but by her husband. Lemaisa, again, the question is she entitled to a wine allotment or not? The Gemara is saying the fact that the Navi indicates that it's the derech of a man to drink, not the derech of a woman to drink, would indicate that if she is not living with him, she is not entitled to a wine allotment. Meisve, the Gemara raises the kasha, regila nosn la, that if a woman is accustomed to drink, let's say she regularly drank wine, then we give her To which the Gemara says, Regila Shiny. It's obvious, Yehovah say, if she is accustomed to drinking, right? If she is accustomed to drinking, so then even if she's not living with her husband, she's entitled to a wine allotment from his estate. So the Gemara says, Da'amarav Chinina, Barakana Mershmuel, Regila Nostin La Kosechad. Now, at first glance, this statement is not going to make much sense. But Rav Chinina Barakana said in the Mershmuel that if a woman is accustomed to drinking, Nostin La Kosechad, we give her one cup. She'ina Regila, if she's not accustomed to drinking, Nostin La Shnei Kosos, we give her two cups. So the Gemara says, my Kamar, what are you talking about? Amrabai Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say, Regila Bifnei Baila Shnei Kosos. If when she was with her husband, meaning if they were living together, she would normally drink two cups. When she's not in his presence, we give her one cup. But also remember, the underlying issue over here is all back to the basic statement of Rebbe Lazar, that wine awakens within the individual desire for intimacy. And if wife is not with the husband, we're concerned that that desire ultimately may lead her to do inappropriate things. Therefore, we diminish her wine consumption. Say, if she normally drank two cups when she was with her husband, if she's not in the presence of her husband, we give her one cup. But if she only drank one cup when with her husband, we don't give her anything. The other possibility is, then when we spoke about the fact that she's accustomed to wine consumption, the Gemara says that that's not necessarily wine consumption for drinking, but rather what? Cooking, that if she uses cooking wine, so we go and we give her cooking wine, even not in the presence of her husband. Listen to this, Rabbosai. There was a maisa with the daughter-in-law of Nakdimon Ben Gurion. So we'll say, Bipashtos, what ended up happening over here is that she was widowed. Remember, Nakdimon Ben Gurion is one of the three wealthiest men in Yerushalayim during times of the right before the Churban of the second Beis Hamikdash. Remember, again, 2 days ago we spoke about Kalba Savua. So there were three rich men in Yerushalayim: Kalba Savua, Nakdimon Ben Gurion, and Ben Tzitzis HaKeses. Right, the Gemara Maseches Tainis brings down each of those names. By the way, are descriptive, right? They're not their actual names, but rather descriptive of their incredible wealth. So remember, again, the Gemara Maseches Tainis brings down that these three men, their combined wealth had the ability to support the Jewish people for over 2 decades of a Roman siege. That's how vast the wealth was. Pretty amazing. So the Gemara says there was an episode, and apparently Nakdimon Ben Gurion's son died. It says daughter-in-law was left an almana, and the Chachamim were deciding how much money how much support she was going to get from the estate of her now deceased husband. So what happened? Shepaskula Chachamim Sasayim Yayin Litzike Kedera. We'll say they gave her an allowance of 2 sa'ah of wine. 2 sa'ah of wine just for cooking. Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos per week. Now we'll say that is a huge amount of wine. 2 sa'ah of wine. And that's just for cooking. So from Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and she was very upset. Amr lahen kach tifsuku libno seichem. Your daughter should get this allotment. Now, she was cursing them, right? What she was saying is, you know, your daughter should get such a stingy allotment. Now, again, for anyone else, this would have been an incredible amount of wine. Listen to this. Tana shomeres yavam hayis. And Now, apparently her husband died without children. So what happened? Velo anu achareha amen. Now, the Chachamim wanted to answer amen to her curse, right? They didn't answer amen. Why? Because she was a shomeres yavam. She was waiting for Yibum. So they were afraid that if they would have answered amen, they wanted to answer amen that their children should have such wealth. But they didn't want to answer amen because it was something they were answering amen that their daughter should be widowed without children as well. Therefore, they didn't answer amen. Tana kos echad yafalisha. So now the Braisa says the following. One cup of wine is good for a woman. One cup of wine is good for anyone. Right? But the Gemara is saying over here that one cup of wine, again, is not going to go ahead and lead anyone to do anything inappropriate. Shnayim nivalhu. 2 already leads to her degradation. Shlosh, which means that ultimately, again, a person, she drinks a little too much, she can end up doing something degrading. Shlosha tavas bepeh. We both say 3 cups of wine, she will explicitly ask her husband for relations. Now, the Gemara discusses that, and it's actually interesting enough, it's somewhat linked into the chait of Chava, that ultimately a woman desires her husband, but sometimes is too bashful to ask. So three cups of wine, the inhibitions go by the wayside, and she explicitly asks her husband for intimacy. Arba, 4 cups of wine, afilu chamar tovas b'shuk ve'ina makpedes. So we'll say again, you know, you be careful how you apply this gemara, right? But the idea over here is that literally it means that she'll even solicit a donkey in the marketplace. Now we'll say, obviously, chazal dominal, what that means is four cups of wine, right? The sometimes the boundaries of morality come down and she could end up even engaging in a terrible act. Amar Rava, look, what about Pesach? Yeah, ask your wife, don't ask her. four cups of wine, it's a good kasha. So remember, there the issue is also they're spaced. They're spaced. The idea over here, when Chazal speak about the negative impact of drinking, is their daf, because remember also, the shear for Pesach is a revius. When they speak about cups of wine, they're not speaking about a revius. They're speaking about much larger amounts of wine. So it's the spacing. It's also, remember, the context. It's in a Pesach Sidi, which is a Davar Shebikdusha, and it's the amount. But it is a good kasha. I'm sorry? The wines were also much, but I'm saying, but even if the wine's run, that's still the Irish kasha by Pesach is still a good kasha. They're drinking the same strong wine. But remember, by Pesach, again, you're talking about a much smaller shear by Revius. When people drank, remember, again, they drank. They drank. Amar Rava, lo shano ela shein baya le'ima. So we'll say, Rava said that lemaisa, we only say that the wine consumption for a woman is problematic because she can get herself into trouble when her husband's not with her. Ava baya le'ima les lanba. But if her husband's with her, it's not a problem. But we'll say that we're only concerned that she could get herself into trouble with immorality if there's not a man there, if her husband. But if her husband is there, then lemaisa, even though she might become a little bit tipsy and may desire intimacy, that's fine, because that urge and that desire will be satisfied in a permissible way. I have a ha-chana. Va-chana de baile imohi. Avi, this is very interesting. I bought about chana. So chana, remember going back to what we said before, the Navi tells us that chana did not drink. So why couldn't chana drink? After all, again, her husband was with her. To which the Gemara says, "Ach senoi shiny." The difference with Chana is that she was a guest at someone's house. The Amar Afuna, Rabbi said, "This halacha l'maisa kruvah b'leshulchan aruch. Minayin lach senoi she'aser b'tash mishamita." How do we know that if a person is a guest at someone else's home, that they are prohibited to engage in marital relations? Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, "Vayashkimu baboker, vayishtachavu lifnei Hashem, vayashuvu vayavo el beisam haramasa." Because the pasuk says the next morning, meaning after Chana got word from Shmuel and Avi through HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she was going to have a child, they woke up the next morning, they went home, and it's only when they went home that Elkanah had relations with Chana. Hashta'in meikarala, only once they got home did they have relations, but apparently when they were a guest at someone's house, they did not. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that when you're a guest at someone's house, you shouldn't have relations. Now, the Shulchan Aruch qualifies that. The Shulchan Aruch says, the idea over here is that it shouldn't be that when someone is cleaning up after their guests, after the guests leave the house, that you see that they had relations. So therefore, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says, brings down that if a couple wants to have relations, if they put a towel underneath them or something underneath them, that ultimately, again, there's no trace that bia occurred, then that is permitted even if one is a guest at someone's home. So Mar tells an interesting story. Choma devisu da'abaye asoy lekamei derava. So we'll say Choma was the wife of Abaye. Now Abaye died. And what happened? She came before Rava and she wanted the Beis Din to determine what her financial allotment would be from the estate of Abaye. Amar la psokli mizoni. So Choma said to Rava, establish for me a mizona stipend for my husband's estate. Pasakla, he did it. Psokli chamra, give me a wine allotment. Amar la, to which Rava said, Yedana be benachmani. I know about Nachmani. Nachmani will say Abaye. I know about Nachmani, delo havashasi chamra. I know that Abaye didn't drink wine. So if Abaye didn't drink wine during his lifetime, then you even when you lived with him, did not have any wine. Therefore, you're not entitled to a wine allotment. Amra lechaye demar. So listen to this. Sechoma says to Rava, oh, I swear by my husband's life. Dahavamash gile bishuf raziki hai. He, not only did he drink wine, but he drank wine mamish out of a cup this big. And she measured with her arm how big his cup was. Bahadi the Kamakilero, so listen to this. If you can imagine for just a moment, when she was going in and she was showing him the size of the cup, she went like this, you know, just a cup this big. So Igoli Dara, her arm became exposed. Nafla Nuhura Bebedina. and a light filled the basin. The Rosh says, so Choma was known for, because Choma, the wife of Abai, was known for her incredible beauty. So her arm became exposed, and literally the basin became full of light. In other words, her skin was radiant. Her skin was radiant. So what happened? Kam Rava, Ol Lebese, Tava Lebas Rav Chista. So we'll say Rava got up, he went home, and he asked his wife to have relations with him. So we'll say, so listen to this. Now, Tava Lebas Rav Chista, this is nothing illicit, meaning his wife was the daughter of Rav Chista. Right? So he went home, and he became aroused by seeing her exposed arm. He came home, and he wanted to satisfy that desire in a permissible way. So Amar Lebas Rav Chista, Man havi ha'idna bebeidina. So Rabosai, his wife said, tell me, you know, what happened? I mean, this was strange. The fact that he was coming home in the middle of the day, she said, tell me, you know, what happened at work today? Right? what happened at work today? So Amalai said to her, oh, choma devisu da'abai nafka bas, choma devisu da'abai nafka. Choma devisu da'abai nafka. So we'll say, listen to this. So to which Rav said, oh, nothing much. Choma just was in court. Now we'll say, Choma was known as an exceptionally beautiful woman. So Rava's wife realized what happened. In Nafka Basra, Machtola Bekulfa Deshida, Ada Afkula Mekule Mechuza. So we'll say, listen to this. Don't mess with Basra of Chista. So Basra of Chista ran after Choma with a lock and started beating her with a lock until she chased her out of the city of Mechuza. In other words, Rabosai, that Basra of Chista, the daughter of Rava, the wife of Rava, was not very happy that her husband was being aroused by another woman. Again, even though, remember, it's clear Choma did not do this intentionally. Choma was there for a specific din, but the wife of Rava, daughter of Chista, Basra of Chista, was not happy, and she pretty much tried to beat up Choma and chased her out of town. Amar Allah. So Basra of Chista said to Choma, Katlis Lech Tlasa, you already killed three husbands. Va'asas lemiktal achrina, and now you want to kill another. They both say, now this is very interesting. That remember that Abaye was Choma's third husband. And at this point in time, now Choma had outlived three husbands. Rashi says, Katla Allah Utlas. Abaye was her third husband. Now she had married three husbands, which means that at this point in time, she's what's called the Katlanis. Katlanis is a woman who can no longer get remarried. Black widow, right? The black widow can no longer get remarried because this assumption is something's going on over here. So Basra of Chista says, you already killed three husbands. Now you want to kill other husbands? In other words, that you're going to entice men with your beauty and they're going to want to marry you. You can't do that. So the Gemara goes right there. To visit Rav Yosef, supposed to listen to this. The wife of Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, came before Rav Nechemya, the son of Rav Yosef. So Rav says she was widowed. Amri le psok li mizoni. Establish for me a mizonos amount. Pasak la, he gave the basin, gave to her. Pasak li chamra, establish for me a wine stipend. Pasak la, they established it for her. Amar la, because the basin said to her, Yedana behu bibne mechuza, the shasi chamra. We know about the people of Mechuza, which is where your husband was from, that they drank wine. Therefore, again, bepashas, you drank wine during your married life, and therefore you're entitled to a wine allotment from the estate. Divisit Rav Yosef, braid Rav Menashe midvil. So the wife of Rav Yosef, the son of Menashe from the city of Devil, Asai lekameid Rav Yosef, came before Rav Yosef. Amar le psok li mizoni, established for me a mizona stipend for my husband's estate. Pasuk la, they established it for her. Pasuk li chamra, give me a wine stipend. Pasuk la, they gave it to her. Psok li shiroi, give me a stipend for silk garments. So what happened? Amar la shiroi lama, why do you need silk garments? Listen to this. Amar le lach ulechavrach ulechavrosach, for you and for your friends, and for your friends' friends. Well, see, now Rashi points out, what does this mean? That the wife of Rav Yosef said, if I am not dressed nicely, then people will not respect me. In order that I'm able to retain the same level of respect that I had when my husband Rav Yosef was alive, it's important that I be clothed appropriately. Therefore, again, although this silken garment may look a little bit excessive and expensive, nevertheless, for me to maintain my prior state, my prior dignity, you must award me this clothing. V'nosin la'mito mapa. So, remember again, the Mishnah said that we go ahead and we give her this. Remember, all of this is in the case where the husband is setting her up to be supported in a different place from where he is living. So he has to give her a bed, as well as a soft mat and a hard mat, or a hard mat and a soft mat. So we'll say, so why do you have to give her the mapat and machatas? Why do you have to give her the soft mat and the hard mat? If she already has a bed, that should be enough. Because we're somehow at a place where they both say they fill the beds with ropes. And therefore, again, it's a hard bed. And therefore, in order to go ahead and make the bed soft, you have to go ahead and put a mat on top of it. Because if you don't sleep on a soft bed, it prematurely ages you. Therefore, in order to make sure that she has a soft bed to sleep on, even though he gave her a bed, because the bed is filled with ropes, they also give her the mats to put on top of the bed. We don't give her a pillow and a mattress. A pillow and covers, a pillow and a quilt. Rabbi Nassan says, no, we do give her a car and a kassas. We do give her a pillow and a cover. Hey, chidamis, what's the case over here? So we'll say, if it is the normal way, that if she were to be supported with her husband, that she would get a pillow and a cover. So we give her the pillow and the cover. Ve'ilav archa, and if it's not the normative way, then my time is Rabbi Nassan, the wide Rabbi Nassan, she does get it. To which the Rabbi Nassan says, lo tzricha, kigom do orche didei, ve'lav archa dida. Rather, Rabbi Nassan says, what's the case? Where, again, it's the normal derech, let's say, of his family, that people sleep with a pillow and the cover, but it's not the normal derech of her family. Look at Rashi, orche, Darko lishon al karim v'kistos v'anon kaim alon oli'imos. Listen to this. So remember, we'll say, so it's the way of his family, but not the way of her family. Tana kama savar amar la ki azilna shakilna lehu v'chi asina ma'asina lehu. So Tana kama says like this. Rabbi will say, when he is sleeping with her, meaning when they're sleeping in the same house, so if he has a pillow and cover, he's obligated to give her one also. So this guy's a real sweetheart. What does he say? He says, look, when I come and I'm sleeping at your house, at your apartment, I'll bring my pillow and my cover, and I'll bring you one as well. Right? But when I leave, I'm taking the pillows and covers with me. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Nassan says, Amr Allah, she'll say to him, Zimnin, Dimisrami bin Ashmash. Well, you know what, that's very nice, but sometimes you're going to be coming, you know, for Shabbos, and what's going to happen? It's going to be late in the day. Below Matzis Maisi Lahu, and you're not going to have time to bring the pillows and covers. Vishaklis Lahu Ladidi, and you're going to take mine. I will say, so, no, where does she have her? She's, let's say, I'll spend my own money to go and buy my pillow and cover. You're going to come to my house. You're not going to have your pillow and cover. And what's going to happen? You're going to take mine. O Magnus Lialara, and you'll make me sleep on the floor. So therefore again, most according to this opinion, you might say bichayiv to go ahead and provide her with the pillow and cover to keep at her house, in order that Lamaisi can never deprive her of hers. The no sin la kippa, he gives her a covering for her head. Amalei Rav Papa la Abaye, so Rav Papa said to Abaye, Hai Tana Shaliach Artiloi, Berami Masanoi. So this Tana, he's like a messenger who is naked but is wearing shoes. Well, see, now what does that mean? So if you look at the Mishnah is actually fascinating. The Mishnah says that he gives her new clothing essentially once a year. Right, remember again, he gives her new clothing in the wintertime. She wears that clothing during the winter, and then by the time the summertime comes, it's already a little bit more worn out, and she wears it through the summer. But yet shoes, she gets 3 times a year. So we'll say, so the Gemara makes a little of a joke. You know, it's like, it looks silly if a person is unclothed but wearing shoes. So the Gemara says like this, if you think about it, what's happening? He's giving her one set of clothing and 3 pairs of shoes. It doesn't make sense. So I'm like, Tana b'makom harim koi. To which the Gemara, Amalei Tana Malkum Kai, the Tana of this Mishnah lived in a mountainous region. The Lo Sagya Lo Tlasa Zugi Masanoi. That the Rebbe say, if you lived in a mountainous region, apparently you go through shoes relatively quickly. So Lamais again, that's why he had to award her shoes 3 times a year. The Agav Orche Kamash Malon Dinisevinhu Nihali Bemoid. It's actually a beautiful idea. And therefore, what the Tana is telling us is, even if there's something you have to give your wife, so give it to her around the Yamim Tovim. This way, what? Not only will she get something she needs, but there'll also be Simchas Yom Tov. Which is quite beautiful. Says the Gemara, V'kelim shel chamishim zuz. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye. So you give her clothing that's worth 50 zuz. So Amar Abaye, chamishim zuz pshiti. These are 50 common zuz. 50 common zuz. Rashi says over here, zuzei pshite, zuzei medina, shen shminis sheva zuzei tsuri. There was Tyrian zuzim, kesef tsuri, which Rabbi said was actually, even though they're both called the zuz, the Kesef Tzuri, I should say the Zuzi Tzuri, were made of complete silver, versus Kesef Mzuzi Medina, regular simple Zuz, which were only 1/8 silver. So it was a 50-50 Tzuri Zuzi, or Zuzi Tzuri, is a lot of money. So that sounds like a lot of money to spend on clothing. Therefore, the Gemara says, no, it's what we call Zuzi Pshiti. It's simple Zuzin. Mimai, Midiktoni, Bemedra, Murim, Bani, Shabi, Yisrael. Because remember, what was the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah was talking about a poor man, but remember again, if somebody is wealthy, then he has to support his wife in accordance with his covenant. And if you want to say that it's literally 50 zuz, ani chamishim zuz minale, where does an ani have 50 tirian zuz? Rather, see from here, that's what? Then we speak about the 50 zuz, it's 50 simple zuzin. Remember again, the Mishnah says you don't give her new clothing in the summertime or old clothing in the winter. Most are mezonos labal. This is actually very interesting. Let's say there's leftover mezonos. Look at Drash, what does it mean leftover mezonos? Let's say you have a woman who eats very little. So who gets the leftover mezonos? Now this doesn't mean the leftovers on her plate. What this means is, remember, the Mishnah said there's a particular allotment for mezonos. But let's say, again, she's not using that full allotment. She's using a lesser amount. So who gets to keep that excess money or those excess items? So the Gemara says it goes to the husband. Most are below, however, again, if there's leftover clothing, so Leisha, that goes to the woman. So most are below means, we'll say, like we said before, let's say the new year comes along and the clothing she got last year is still good and in perfect condition. So who gets that? That's the property of the woman. So the Gemara says, most are below, Leisha, lamala. Why does the woman need, if she already got new clothing, so why does she need last year's clothing? Amarachba, Shemiskasa bahen mimini dasa. Because she wears last year's clothing, Abosai, when what? When she's a Nida, in order that she not become repulsive to her husband. Meaning, Abosai, that she doesn't want to wear the same clothing when she is a Tahora as when she is a Nida, because she feels that that will diminish her beauty or her desirability in the eyes of her husband. Therefore, what does she do? She goes in and she takes last year's clothing, uses that as her Nida clothing, and therefore uses her new clothing, Bimei Tara. Amra by Naktinon, we learn most are belows almana liyarshav. But yet we learn about that what that if a woman is an almana, a woman is widowed. Although the estate is obligated to provide her with new clothing, the inheritors, the children, get her old clothing and therefore could sell it off. So the Gemara says, "Hasam hudlo tiskani ba'pe hacha tiskani v'tiskani." Logic behind that is what Rabbi said, because when she's married and her husband is alive, we let her keep the old clothing so that she could wear it when she's a Nida, in order that she not become repulsive to her husband. But once her husband is dead, that issue is no longer relevant, and therefore Lamaisa, the old clothing, meaning last year's clothing, become the property of the Yarshim, of the inheritors, and they could sell it off and use that money to offset her expenses. No sin la ma'a kasef. We give her again one ma'a of kasef for her spending money. My ochales. So, both remember again, the Mishnah also said that he eats with her every Friday night. So the Gemara says that this is, remember, all talking about the case where she is being supported outside of the household. So my ochales. So what does it mean they eat together on Friday night? Rav Nachman Amar ochales mamish. Rav Nachman says it literally means they have the suda together. Rav Ashi says no, tashmish. It means ochales, eating together, is a euphemism for marital relations. So tznan, we learned ha ochales imo lele shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah they eat together on Friday night. Bishalom and damra achila hanu diktani ochales. So according to Mandamu, who says that achila literally means eating, that's why the Mishnah uses the wording of eating. But according to Mandamu, who says that it means they have relations every Friday night. So what does ocheles mean? Lishna ma'alya. It's a euphemistic lashon. Kidichsev achla umach sapia va'amra lo pa'alti oven. So we'll say, quoting the pasuk from Mishlei, speaking about the woman who commits adultery, a reference to Klal Yisrael rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, she will eat, and she wipes her mouth, and she says, I didn't do anything. So we'll say this, of course, is a euphemism for adulterous relationships. So we see that Lashon of Achila is used by marital relations as well. Meisei, the Gemara is the Kash, Reb Shemming Amni Olomer, Ocheles B'Leile Shabbos V'Shabbos, The couple eats together on Friday night and Shabbos day. Again, remember, all of this is situations where they're not living together during the week. So the Mishnah says they should eat together on Shabbos night and Shabbos day. According to my mother, it says that eating literally means eating. I understand why it says they eat together Friday night and Shabbos day. But according to my mother, it says that eating means relations. So the Gemara says, are you permitted to have relations during the day? But yet we learned that Yisrael are kiddushim, Yisrael are holy, and they don't engage in marital relations by day. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not true. You can engage in relations by day. It just has to water bosai. The room just has to be darkened. So therefore it could be, so that same machlokes as to whether or not, machlokes as to what it means they eat together on Shabbos. Doesn't mean that they literally have to have their meals together. It doesn't mean that, no, even if they're not living together, husbands should make sure to maintain some regular consistency in intimacy at least once a week on Shabbos. If she was nursing, even though we said that a man is not obligated to support his minor children, we learned this already. Right? Even though we said a person is not obligated to support his minor children, however, aval zan kitani kitanim, but he must support his very young children. Ad kama, until what age is a person obligated to support his children? Ad ben sheish, until 6 years old. Right? After 6 years old, they're capable of taking care of their own, of themselves a little bit more. But until the age of six, a father is obligated to support his children. T'kid Rav Asi, and this supports Rav Asi, Dam Rav Asi, Katan ben sheish, yotze be'erev imo. It was actually interesting, because Rav Asi said that this is by an Erev. Let's say, for example, an Erev Tchumin. So let's say the mother goes in and makes an Erev, Rashi says, to the north. So a child less than the age of six is included in his mother's Eruv. Because the assumption is that a child under the age of six is a full dependent. Therefore, again, the same way that the father is obligated to support his wife, he's obligated to support his young child as well. So Mar says, Mimai, Midiktani. So where do we learn this? When we see this in the Mishnah, Haisa Menika, if she was nursing, we diminish the amount of money she has to generate because she's busy nursing. And we give her extra mazonos. My time, what's the reason? Is it not because she has to go out and feed her minor child? So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting, therefore, that's a proof you see from here that a father is obligated to support his young child under the age of six. And that's what it means when it says that if a woman is nursing, we diminish the amount of money she has to bring into the house, plus we give her extra mazonos. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the reason we give the nursing mother additional mazonos is because she's a chola, she's sick. Im kein lisni im haisa chola. Then let us say we give her extra mazonos because she's sick. Maim haisa miniko. Why does it say if she was nursing? V'dilma hakamash v'lon the stam minikos cholos ninu. But maybe it's teaching us that a stam miniko, a stam woman who's nursing, is considered to be a chola. So the Gemara says, Itmar am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mosifan la yayin shayayin yafa la chola. So we'll say the Gemara ends off with a previous judge, so we'll say, just the way that previous piece ends off is that Lamaisa, he does have to give her extra mazonos, but Bepashtas, we always assumed before that the extra mazonos was to allow for an ample milk supply. Now what the Gemara is also saying is that extra mazonos also teaches us the idea that what? That a father is obligated to support his minor children until the age of six. Remember again, we saw Halach Lamaisa in the Shulchan Aruch, that today the present custom is we compel a father to support his young children already to the age of bar and bas mitzvah, but technically speaking, the halachic obligation is only until the age of six. The Gemara is up with another important statement. Itmar Amrei Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehoshua says, "Mosif on layayin." We give a nursing mother additional wine. It's interesting how times have changed a little bit, right? So we go ahead and we give a nursing mother additional wine. Why? Mivshayayin yafet lechalav, right? Because everyone knows that wine is good for a woman's milk supply. All right, interesting. Hadrin Allah, Hadrin Allah, Hadrin Allah, Afapi. New paragraph say, Mitzias, Aisha, Masiyad, Alabaila. If a woman finds something or if a woman earns something, it becomes the property of her husband, the Yerushasa. And Abba says, if she is a Yerusha. Now remember again, this Yerusha means if she inherits someone, let's say her father dies and she was the only child. So she inherits the property of her father. What happens with that Yerusha? Hu achal peres bechayeha. So what's that? Remember, she retains the title to that Yerusha, but he has the right to eat peros of that Yerusha. Boshto pagma shela. Similarly, Abba says, boshes and pegam. If let's say she's injured, and there's boshes, there's humiliation, and pagma means there's devaluation, depreciation. So shela, she gets to keep those amounts. Those are hers. Rabbi Yehuda Meser, Rabbi Yehuda Meser says no. Bismancha b'seiser, if Rabbi said the injury she endured is a hidden injury, meaning it's not an injury that's seen by anyone else, then lashne chalak velo echad. Then she gets 2/3 of the injury payments, and he gets 1/3. Ubismancha b'galoi, but Rabbi said if the injuries are visible, in that case, Rabbi said then the injuries not only impact her, but they also impact him because now his wife is disfigured. Then what? Lo shnei chalakim. He gets 2/3 velo echad, and she only gets 1/3. Shaloni tiyasi miyat. So we'll say his portion of the damages, lemaisa, is payable immediately. Vishala yilakach ben karka vahu ochal peros. And her, the amount that she receives for injuries, has to be invested in real estate. She retains the title, and he gets to use the peros. So we'll say fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and the Tanakama. Tanakama says that any injuries, any monies received for injuries are always the property of the woman, full property of the woman. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says the husband always gets a share of injuries. Share of the husband is dependent on what? The nature of the injuries. Private injuries, ultimately meaning injury, and we'll call it not private, non-visible injuries, husband gets less, wife gets more. Visible injuries, husband gets more, wife gets less. Says the Gemara, my kamash walan tanino. What is the Mishnah teaching me? We already learned this. Ha'av zakai bebito bekidushah bekaseh b'shtar bebiyah. A father gets to keep. Father is entitled to his daughter's kesef kiddushin, and he has the right to convey her, to give her over in marriage. Zakai b'mitzias amasid. Similarly, again, a father, if the daughter finds something, remember, we'll say this is either a ketana or a nara. Once she's a bogeres, father doesn't have these rights. But while she's a ketana and a nara, if she finds something, father gets to found the object and her earnings. Ubahafaras nedarehi. Father has the right to annul her vows. Mekabelas kita. Father could receive her get on her behalf. Ve'ino ucha peros bechayeha. But Rabbi says he does not have the right to go ahead and eat the peros, ultimately, again, of property that she owns during her lifetime. So she has property, let's say that she inherited herself, so father does not have the right to eat the peros of that property. Ni says, if this girl then gets married, yasser alav habau, so the husband has additional rights over the father. Number one, shuhu ochel peros bechayeha. The Rabbi says, interestingly enough, if a girl owns property, so the father does not have the right to enjoy the peros of that property. But if a wife owns property, she retains the title, but what? Her husband has the right to go out and use peros, so get peros. So we'll say, so we already learned this. This is what the Mishnah was saying, right? The Mishnah just said this, that ultimately, again, a husband has, that if a woman owns property, she retains title, but husband has the rights to peros. So the Gemara is asking is, why does the Mishnah need to teach this to me? We already learned this once before. To which the Gemara says, you're right, boshta upagma itzrichale plugged Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir v'Rabbanan. To which the Gemara says, you're right, the Mishnah was not coming to teach me the laws regarding peros, because that we already learned. Rather, the Mishnah was coming to introduce to me what? The machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, namely, about how you divide up injuries. Tanakama saying injuries are always the property of the woman, versus the Tanakama saying that lemaisa, injuries are split between husband and wife, depending on the nature of the injuries. And therefore, once the Mishnah was teaching that, the Mishnah brought in all of this other information. But in Achinami, all the original information about peros is already taught to us before. The only novel ruling here is the halacha concerning the division of boshes and pagam, the division of injuries, machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll say just one more scheduling change. In Yirtza Hashem, tomorrow morning, Daf Yomi will be at 5:45. It will be before in Yirtza Hashem davening. We'll put it out in the email today, but it will be early. I'm sorry for the confusion, for the back and forth, but in Yirtza Hashem, 5:45 tomorrow.